Psalm 119, the next three sections, Kaf, Lamed, Mem. Beginning of verse 81, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. I am thine. Save me, for I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they, your commandments, are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancient, than the aged, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. This next section in Psalm 119, and the thoughts build in a beautiful way. Lord, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, not for deliverance from the circumstance that the singer is in. And we're not sure what circumstance the singer is in. But he's describing those things that go on internally. My soul fainteth. I feel like I'm dying inside. I'm atrophying. I'm being crushed within. My eyes fail for your word, looking for comfort. I'm like a bottle in the smoke, O Lord, but I haven't forgotten your precepts. This singer begins to cry out about being in a difficult circumstance. Is it cancer? Is it someone close that's ill? Is it a broken family? Is it a prodigal son or daughter? Is it a failed business? Is it betrayal by a close friend that has stabbed us in the back? Not always the chastisement of God when difficulty comes and pain comes. And even as believers, we come to the place where we say, Lord, my soul is failing. How long? This idea of waiting sometimes, so difficult. I don't like to wait in traffic. I don't like to wait while my kids get ready to go somewhere. And you always have one that creeps while everybody else bounces, let alone waiting for a week or for a month or for a year or longer. Lord, this waiting thing does not seem consistent with your faithfulness. It seems like your concern for me has failed. How long, Lord, my soul fainteth, Lord. But I'm hoping in your word. My eyes are failing for thy word. When will you comfort me? I'm looking at all of the old passages that meant so much to me, that sprung to life at different times, Lord, and I just feel so dry. And I'm sorting through 1,000 different ideas. That I do something wrong? That I sin? Is this something the Lord's been dealing? Is something going on? Is there secret sin? Is there this? Is there that, Lord? I'm struggling within, in the middle of all of these things, about your apparent disconnectedness to my life in the middle of this pain. It doesn't seem consistent with who you've always been. I'm like a bottle in the smoke. That's a wineskin was the bottle in those days. And often hung in the tent or in the home, heat, light produced by the flame. It wasn't long before a wineskin would become permeated with smoke. You know what it's like to try to get the smell of smoke out of something. The wineskin would become permeated enough that you couldn't put wine, goat's milk, water, anything in it, because it would acquire the taste of the smoke. I come home sometimes from having lunch with someone or breakfast with someone, and my wife will say, "Where were you? In a diner? You smell like cigarettes." I mean, she just, you know, you get that smell of smoke on you. Difficult to get off. If you ever had a small fire in your home, you know what it's like to try to get that smell out of the carpet or the off the walls or out of the furniture. And the singer is saying, "Lord, it's beginning to permeate my being. It's difficult to get rid of this. I'm afraid that I'm not tasting to others or smelling to others the way that I should. Lord, I'm failing." And, you know, Psalm 73, the singer said, I'm afraid to say these things around your people, Lord, lest I stumble them. I'm in this place, Lord, where I can't even really be honest, Lord. I'm like a wineskin in the smoke, Lord, yet I don't forget your statutes. That's the struggle here. How many are the days of thy servant? Lord, I don't know how long I'm going to live. If you don't rescue me soon, I'm going to die unrescued. When wilt thou execute judgment or justice on them that persecute me? The proud, they have digged a pit for me, which is not after your law. There were lawful pits. You were allowed to dig a pit to bury refuse. You're allowed to dig a cistern or a well. You're allowed to dig a pit for a body. But the law was very explicit about digging holes and leaving them unfilled, because an ox or a sheep or a man unwittingly could fall in and be injured. And the law was strict about it. And he said, they're digging pits for me that are unlawful, Lord. This is the idea of being a snare, putting grass over the top and camouflaging the hole so someone would fall in and be injured. Lord, they're laying snares for me, your enemies, Lord. I'm struggling in this. I'm like a wineskin in the smoke. It's beginning to permeate me. And then, Lord, it's difficult to get rid of some of those things that are being woven into me in regards to doubt and struggle. And in the middle of that, the enemy, and the enemy, of course, always comes when we're at our weakest, is laying snares for me, Lord, in the middle of all of this. And they're not after your law. All thy commandments, though, Lord, are faithful. So in the middle of all this, there's some great words. We have hope. We have I will not forget. We have your commandments are faithful. I forsook not thy precepts. Even in the middle of this struggle, we see these glimmers in the singer. I love verse 87. We have the word almost and but there. Those are always good together. They had almost consumed me upon the earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to do when we're in a circumstance. We don't understand what God's doing. It seems inconsistent with what he's done in our life in the past. It seems inconsistent with what we know of him. We cry out. There seems to be no answer. The heavens seem like they're made of brass. We're saying, how long, Lord? My soul is fainting. Lord, I'm crying out. My eyes are failing. Just trying to find something in the words that'll give me comfort. Where are you, Lord? I'm getting stained by this. This is laying a scar on me spiritually, Lord. I'm getting a copping an attitude here about you and about your word and about spiritual things that I should never have. And Lord, I'm almost consumed, but Lord, I forsook not thy precepts. And now we ask for the supernatural. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Lord, I need you to breathe life on these things, to make them alive for me. Human counsel is fine, all of these things, Lord, and I know them, Lord, and I know these verses, and I know what people are suggesting, but Lord, you need to quicken me. Breathe life into me according to thy... You need to revive me, O Lord. And then as the singer moves on, we see he brings to remembrance the permanence of God's word. He brings to remembrance the truth that God's word is fixed, that it never changes. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What a great thing. The word of God is permanent. It's unchanging. Book of Acts says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. He knows everything that's happened. He knows everything that's happening in our lives today and in the world we live in. And he knows everything down to the minutest detail that will happen in the next decade, in the next century, on into eternity. So there isn't any reason for his word ever to be altered, because he knows everything and it's inerrant. It's settled in heaven. The Caesars tried to wipe out Christianity, tried to wipe out the word. It was futile. Voltaire held up a copy of the Bible and said, in 50 years, this book will be in the morgue. 50 years later, Voltaire was in the morgue. And his home was the distribution center for the Geneva Bible. Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. What a great thing that we can build our lives on something that never changes. There aren't many things in this world that are settled. That's why there's constantly treaties about ICBMs and politics and negotiations, and it seems that so little ever gets settled. Thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. I like that. Thy faithfulness. And in these first three verses, we have these words, settled, forever, faithfulness, established, abideth, continue. I like the way all of that sounds. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. What he's saying is, Lord, as I'm sitting back and looking around, I'm remembering your word is established in heaven forever. The earth, the creation, the sky, the sea, the land, the trees, Lord, they're abiding the way they are because your word never changes and you spoke them into existence. The first 10 commandments we have in the Bible are not in Exodus 20. The first 10 commandments we have are in Genesis 1. 10 times it says, and God said, and he's bringing things into existence that the laws of magnetism and electricity and gravity and all of those things still continue because the word of God upholds them. And when we look around, you know, we didn't wake up this morning, walk outside and float away because gravity decided not to be gravity today. Lord, I look around, I see everything is established, it's unchanging, and I remember that's according to your word. And it's settled forever in heaven, Lord, in regards to me and my struggles and my broken heart. And wonderfully, Lord, in regards to my redemption, in regards to heaven. Your word is established forever. I look around, everything continues this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. And unless thy law had been my delights, I should have perished in mine affliction. Now, verse 93 answers verse 88, where he cried, he said, O Lord, quicken me. Do that, Lord, quicken me. Here he says in verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. God answering, Lord, I will never forget your word. You know, this is the permanent part of that should be part of our attitude. That God's word is settled in heaven. It's forever. It's faithful. It's established. It abides. It continues. And what should the continuance that should be in our lives is we should say, Lord, I will never forget your word. And we should say that because we can. And because we do. Isn't it interesting? The Word of God is available to us. You don't have to go anywhere to find it. Nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the Scripture says. We don't have to search for it. It's not a mystery. God's given us His Word. Thy Word, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed unto thy Word. I've hidden thy Word in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. We've heard over and over about His Word, thy Word. Now it says that thy Word is established forever. It's in heaven. And I'm never going to forget it. We can memorize it. We can share it with others. The Word of God comes to us, primarily, certainly, in its written form, the final test of everything else. But how often does God personalize His Word? How often, when we are like this singer, struggling, broken, sitting somewhere, all of a sudden a portion of a text or a text comes to life, and God sows it into our heart, and applicable only to us in a wonderful way? We're often sitting in church. I don't get to do it that often. I love to go to church. Once in a while I get to go to church and sit, do what you do. But for years, so often, during a sermon, during a study, God would be confirming, speaking, turning on the radio on the way to work and hearing the same thing that you read in devotions that morning. Or sometimes just by the Holy Spirit, so clearly God will speak. His Word is available. It's there for us. He says, I'm never going to forget it, because it's with it that you have quickened me, Lord. Your Word has given me life and renewed me. I am thine. Save me. For I have sought thy precepts. The wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. Yes, Lord, there are things against me, but I'm going to consider your testimonies. I remember your faithfulness to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. I remember Joseph, mistreated by his brothers, betrayed by Potiphar's wife, thrown in prison. But your testimonies, Lord, tell of your faithfulness, and one day you raise him up to be the second most powerful man on the planet. Think of your faithfulness to Moses, to Joshua, and the great difficulties they came through, and how your Word stood the test of time. Think of Gideon, and of Ruth, the Moabitess, and of Samson, even in his failings, in his repentance at the end of his life, how God was faithful. He says, the wicked have waited for me to destroy me, but I will consider thy testimonies. I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. The idea is, I see the end of everything that man can put his hand to do. It's the end of all human perfection, all the end of every human effort. I see the end of all that human sweat can produce, Lord. And there are some great things, but I see the end of it all. But your Word is exceeding broad, Lord, underneath of it, Lord, spreading out beyond all of it is your Word, which is eternal. You know, people say the Word of God is narrow. Oh, you're one of those Bible thumpers, narrow-minded. No, you know, the truth is, what little sick profession people make claiming some immorality or some space of their own that's godless, that's sinful, and saying that's broad. That's not broad at all. That's sick and narrow and atrophied. The Bible says it's God's Word that is broad. And heaven and earth passes away. It abides forever. From the beginning to the end. From the uttermost to the uttermost. God's Word. Lord, I remember. I've seen the end of the best that man can do, but your Word is exceeding broad. Oh, how love I thy law. There's a lot of people that don't love it. I love your Word, Lord. Some of you sitting here may be thinking, well, I'm here because my wife made me come. I'm here because my husband made me come. I'm here because my parents make me come. I can't wait till you're finished. And then you'll make me go. You know what? Keep breathing. Keep breathing. This is earth. You're going to find out this ain't heaven. And time will wash over you. And you will find yourself saying, Lord, my soul is fainting. My eyes are failing me. Trying to find those verses, those things that I heard. I'm being stained in all of this, Lord. But I'm remembering your word is settled in heaven forever. Quicken me, Lord. I am yours. Save me. I'm remembering your testimonies. And laying in the most adverse situations that come to every human being. Because life wears out. The frame wears out. There is a time that all of us who know God, who know the Lord Jesus, say, Lord, how love I thy word. How love I thy word. And I've probably heard God's word more sweetly than any other time on the lips of those that are getting ready to pass out of this world, to step through the veil into eternity, and to hear the word of God from their lips, how beautiful and how deep and how real, how it becomes a rock and it's immovable and death itself can't touch it or shake it. How love I thy law, O Lord. We will all say it. How love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Back to someone, the man that's blessed, meditates on it day and night. Thou through thy commandment, now he makes three comparisons here, hast made me first wiser than mine enemies. Well, that's good. For they are ever with me, your commandments are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Doesn't say more knowledge. I know you don't know more than your algebra teacher, and you don't know more than your trig teacher. We're surrounded by teachers who have more knowledge. This uses a different word. It's understanding. Than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, that's the aged, the elderly, because I keep thy precepts. Because there are things that we learn just by going on in life. The older we get, they're just life's lessons accumulate. But you all know someone who's not saved who says, yeah, your kid, you know, when I was a kid, this is the way we did it. You'll learn somehow. Did I ever tell you I used to work white? I have to walk 5 miles to school? Yeah, you told me that 4,227 times. What do you mean, did you ever tell me? Well, it says there's an understanding that surpasses that. God's word. That there's a time that comes, and no matter how many degrees we have, no matter how many doctorates or master's degrees we have, no matter how much we've learned or what we studied or how technical we are or how expertise we are in our field, there comes a time when there's something that surpasses all of that. When life is crumbling. When death is at the door. When pain is real. All of our pedigrees and diplomas, and they don't amount to anything. It's then that the Word of God gives more understanding than any other resource. And that's what this psalmist is saying here. Interesting, there are 400,000 words in the English language. 400,000 words. There are 6,000 words in the King James Bible. I don't wonder which of those two vocabularies has had a greater impact on humanity. Dr. Odell Shepherd, professor of English at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, said this: America rests upon four cornerstones. The English Bible, the English language, the common law, and the tradition of liberty. But liberty, language, and law might have been drawn from the Bible alone. Had we brought nothing with us across the sea besides this supreme book, we might still have been great. Without this book, America could not have become what she is, and when she loses its guidance, the wisdom of America will be no more. It was the breath of the prophets in the sails that drove the Mayflower. From those beginnings until now, the Bible has been a teacher to our best men, a rebuke to our worst, and a noble companion to us all. He says this, because of your commandments, you've made me wiser than my enemies. Let's never forget that. I understand more than my teachers because I meditate on your testimonies. I understand more than those that are elderly, all the accumulation of human knowledge, because I keep thy precepts. Because I keep thy precepts. It excludes no one. Jesus says this, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. And here are the important words. First of all, if. There isn't anything that prohibits anyone in this room from having the understanding and the wisdom they need to excel in every situation that God allows to come your way. But there's an if. If any man, those are the qualifications. If, secondly, any man, any woman, Jesus says, will do his will. If any man, any woman will do the will of God, he shall know of the doctrine, the idea is his doctrine, his teaching, whether it is God or whether I speak of myself. The religious leaders were grating on Christ, mocking him. They said, where hath this man learning? Where did he learn letters? Where did he learn Hebrew? He didn't go to our university. He doesn't have our certificates. Who does he think he is? And Jesus says, no, you're wrong. Truth comes to an individual not by intellect, but by obedience. The more someone rebels, the greater darkness they walk in. The more someone obeys truth, the better they know truth. To walk in the light is to be familiar with the light. And Jesus says, this is not a matter that is solely measured by intellect. This is measured by obedience. And the more that we obey the Word of God, the more that we know the Word of God, because we're walking in the Word of God. Here, this psalmist says the same thing. He says, I keep thy precepts. That's why I have understanding, even more than those that are aged. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. His character, his integrity, is leading him into greater and greater light, his obedience to the word of God. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Is the word of God sweet to you? It will be. It's sweet when we're dying. It's sweet when we get a bad report from the doctor. Is it sweet today when it tells you the kind of wife it wants you to be? Or is it a little sour? Are you sure, word, and that's the way you want me to be? Is it sweet to you as a husband when it says to lay down your lives for your wife the way Christ did for the church? How sweet is that? Is it sweet when it tells you about your parenting, about your anger, about your mouth? Oh, it's sweet when it tells us about the love of Jesus and salvation. It's sweet when it tells us that even in our failings, his grace is sufficient. Sweeter than honey. I don't know about you guys. I like honey. Honey, not honeys. Honey. I have to always see somebody giving somebody the elbow there. Love thistle honey. I know honeys. I've justified honey in my mind because it's a healthy sugar. See, it's not dextrose, that long carbon chain that makes you tired. It's fructose and glucose, and much healthier for you. I'll give you the whole spiel. Sweet. I like honey. Go through some. Your word, Lord, sweeter to me than honey. To my palate, to my taste. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. Because of that, I hate every false way. I hate lies. I hate deception. That's in contrast to verse 97. Oh, how love I thy law. To love the Lord and to love his word is to hate evil. That's what the Bible teaches us. There's a juxtaposition. It has to stand that way. You can't mingle them together. You can't say, I love the Lord and do what you want. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and my Father and I will come. We'll make our abode with you. You and I both know too many people who say, oh yeah, I'm born again. Oh, I love Jesus. Living in sin. Living in compromise. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Love is a powerful force. Oh, how love I thy law. In fact, I love your law in such honesty that I hate every evil way. Because when I was down and being crushed, God, when I had no strength to take another step, I cried out to you. I asked you to quicken me. And you were there to remind me that your word is settled forever in heaven. That it had not changed in regards to me. That you were still faithful to me, even though circumstance told me something different. And I cried for help and asked you to save me because I belong to you, Lord, and you were there to stir me. And you did quicken me according to your precepts. And I remembered your testimonies. And Lord, I looked around and I thought, you know, everything that human beings can produce fails. But Lord, your word is exceeding broad. Therefore, oh, how love I thy law. Oh, Lord, I meditate on it day and night. In fact, Lord, it's put me in that place where in regards to wisdom and understanding, there is something of heaven that a human being can acquire that makes them, in that sense, superior to enemies and human teachers and even the constant advice of the aged. There's something superior to all of that that's not of earth. And Lord, because of that, I keep thy law. I yield to it. I obey to it. I obey it, Lord. And it's sweeter in my mouth than honey. In fact, Lord, because of the purity and the beauty and the power of it, I have learned to hate every evil way. What great advice.